Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, a biblically Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. You've got 10 minutes with Jesus in Ephesians chapter 6. Picking it up in verse 5. Slaves, obey your human masters with respect and reverence, and with a sincere heart, just as you obey Christ. Do this not just when they are watching, as if merely to please people, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Serve with eagerness, as for the Lord and not for people, because you know that each person, whether slave or free, will receive back from the Lord whatever good he has done. And masters, do the same for your slaves. Do not threaten them, because you know that the one who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and with him there is no favoritism. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to take a stand on the evil day, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness fastened in place, and with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, tied to your feet like sandals. At all times hold up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Also take up the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We'll pause there. If you're looking at your paper Bible, that was verses 5 through 17. It's about two paragraphs worth. And there's a lot that we could talk about there. But first, we have to talk about slavery. When Paul talks about slaves and masters here, we have to understand that that slavery in the ancient Mediterranean world was different from the slavery that we are familiar with from 19th century and 18th century America. Slavery in the 19th century world would fall into one of two categories. The first category, the lesser category, was when somebody was taken as a captive in warfare, and he or she would then become a slave and be sold as a slave, and there wouldn't be a whole lot of opportunity for advancement or freedom, although it was still possible. The upper edge of slavery, perhaps, or the upper form of slavery, was more like what we would call a contract worker. And this would happen if somebody was indebted to somebody else, or they just entered into a business arrangement with somebody else. Even in some cases, even as relaxed as what we might call an apprenticeship, but a contract worker is fair enough a description for what we have, where somebody would say, "I'll work for you for this period of 3 years, and in exchange, you'll provide room and board and experience or whatever it happens to be," and then that slave would become a member of the household. The household would be, you know, of a fairly upper middle class person. The household would be roughly 40 or 50 people, if you include the children, the servants, the slaves, the families of those people. And it was there were some safeguards in place there. And granted, the Mediterranean world wasn't known as, you know, a bastion of Christianity. There were a lot of pagan ways that slavery was taken advantage of, and the institution was used against the slaves, and that people were taken advantage of. But the concept is more of somebody who is entering into this relationship on a contract basis, and there are some stipulations involved on both sides. And so when Paul is talking to slavery here, he's not saying that slavery in itself is bad or slavery in itself is good. What he's dealing with is reality. Some would say, you know, slavery here is endorsed by the Bible, and so it's good of Christians to have slaves. And then others would say, well, Paul is so backwards because he mentions slavery, and that's just so absolutely wrong. Why would that be included in God's word? But the concept and the idea that we're dealing with here is that Paul addresses reality as it is, and he's talking about how your Christian faith changes that reality and changes the relationship that you have with other people. We've already seen how that changes your relationship with every other Christian and with your spouse and with your children and now in your employment, as you perhaps have entered into a contract relationship for a period of 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years even, Paul says there are safeguards in place here because you as the slave and you as the master are to remember that your primary identity is not as slave and master, and your primary treatment of the other person is not in a way that the unbeliever would. So the master is not to be harsh with his slave. Verse 9. Masters, do the same for your slaves. Do not threaten them, because you know that the one who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and with him there is no favoritism. And what he's reflecting on when he says, do the same for your slaves, is about serving with eagerness as serving the Lord, because each person will receive back from the Lord whatever he has done. And what he's talking about there is this fact that you as a Christian have a higher obligation than any earthly relationship or any earthly agreement. You as a Christian have an obligation to act as a Christian at every time and in every way, no matter the circumstances. Why? Because, first of all, your Lord sees it. He sees, on the one hand, how you might be mistreated, and he sees, on the other hand, how you might mistreat. And so our obligation is to live up to the reality of all that Christ has won for us. Live up to the reality of our calling, as he talked about back in chapters 1 and 2. And that applies to slaves, and that applies to masters. That applies to contract workers, and that applies to their bosses. And so even a Christian today, we typically have like an at-will work agreement in a lot of workspaces. Sometimes it may be a contract negotiated by a union or a contract, some other sort of contract encountered and entered into freely. But the concept is the same, that whether you're working as a millwright, whether you're working in a factory or a plant, as an engineer or a teacher or self-employed, in every case, you have a higher obligation than any law of the land and any socially acceptable etiquette would call for. You have a higher obligation to serve fully and freely, to do your best in all that you can and all that you do, because you know that you are primarily serving the Lord. And as you're serving the Lord, your neighbor is somebody who benefits from your service and from your attention and from your work. And so Paul kind of concludes this part when he's talking about the relationship among Christians and in different relationships between Christians. He concludes with this section on the armor of God, and it is just absolutely beautiful. You know, it would be definitely worthy of memorization. But the concept of verse 12 is the main thing, if you were to remember anything from this chapter, and anything from really the second half of the book of Ephesians. Verse 12, he writes, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world rulers of this darkness," or this dark world, "against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." That concept, that whatever circumstances you might face in life, whatever, you know, causes you might take up, whatever politics come boiling up and brewing up over the next year as we enter another election cycle, we have to keep in mind that the problem isn't in what we see, and it's not in the other person, and it's not in the platform, and it's not in the party, and the problem isn't the rate of crime and the drug use and the alcohol use and the gun use and the media or the social media. Those aren't the problem. The problem is that everyone who is not a Christian is ruled by the devil. That everyone who is not ruled by Christ is ruled by Satan. And Satan has the run of this world. And God, yes, God keeps him on a leash for a time and restrains some of his evil. But the problem is in not the seen, but what is unseen. The unseen of the demonic and worldly activity that would seek in every way to tear down Christians and tear down the Church of Christ. And so Paul says it's with good reason that you are clothed with the armor of God. And we look at this armor, and it's all defensive, almost all of it. The righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness, the only possible explanation for that is not your own righteousness, as though it's your own effort and your own daily goodness that provides a defense against the devil. It's the righteousness of Jesus. The righteousness of Jesus in your place for you and for me. And every other element of the armor of God here is defensive until we get to the sword of the Spirit, the word of God in verse 17. And so what is Paul saying? That we live in a world that would tear you away from Jesus. We live in a world where there would be every temptation to just relax and fall back into the ideas and the habits of the world around us, to say that we live up to the laws of the land and that's sufficient, because that's what our employer requires, right? But Paul says, you have a higher standard, and don't let anything distract you from that. And so be in your word, open your Bible and start reading. Whether, you know, open up to the Gospel of Matthew and just start reading from Matthew, you get to the end of the book of Acts, and then, you know, go through Romans. This stuff kind of explains itself. You know, that's the power of the Holy Spirit through this word, that he equips you for everyday life to encourage you in service to God in everything and every way. You can find us 9 a.m. at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. Also, check out the show notes. You can click the link yearbook.wells.net to find a nearby church. And there are two other churches here in the Toledo area, Zion over on Nebraska Avenue and Hosanna out on Monclover Road. And if you have a minute, make sure to look us up on Facebook. Just search for Resurrection Maumee and give us a like, a comment, and a share. God bless your day.